And from WHJE, we thank you. WHJE would like to thank the following Super Boosters for their generous support of our program. Andy and Kelly Moulton, Dr. Chris and Shelley Nam, the Knoll family, Jack and Michelle O'Connor, Dave and Karen Owens and family, the Padgett family, Todd and Jeanette Parker, John and Alicia Ramsey Sr., Bill and Jane Reese, Jason and Jill Reese, Joe and Sue Reinbold, Bruce and Jan Reynolds, David, Kristen, and Trenton Richardson, and from WHJE, we thank you.
The Money Wars.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Halftime Action here at Carmel Stadium. If you're just joining us, I'm John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith, my colleague in crime, Vince Reimer, and Riley Sawyers. We're here for the Greyhound Halftime Show. Hey, let's start it out here with a quick recap of that first half. Jesse, what did you see so far that impressed you from the Lawrence North side of the ball?
The Lawrence North side of the ball on defense, up the middle running. Wasn't much of a premium there for the Greyhounds, except on that one drive from Shakir Pascal, forcing him towards the sidelines. Lawrence North has been doing a good job there. I love the aggressiveness on the offensive side of the ball, attempting to go with the air it out there. But what have you seen from Carmel as impressed you?
Well, for me, the Greyhounds have come out throwing and running very well, and they've done it with a balance that's not predictable. And I think the problem they ran into is they would put Isaac James in for first and second down, and then they just bring John Lampe in randomly on third down. And it was almost like there was that system that we could read. Even us in the booth, we knew that on third down, no matter where the ball was placed, no matter how many yards to go, John Lampe was coming in. And it made it incredibly easy for a defense to be able to read the offensive scheme. But I think the coaches have done an incredible job tonight of calling plays that keep the defense on their feet. I mean, it's a feat in and of itself to throw 35 points on the board in the first half.
And, you know, when you look at this offensive attack, we see Isaac James coming in and coming up with a big pass play. That really opens it up. And, Vince, what did you think of Isaac James there in that first half?
I thought he did a really solid job. He didn't do extremely well throwing the ball, not as good as Lampe did. But he did rush a lot. He was very good on those option plays. Got a decent amount of yards rushing. And that rush game was, the ground game, if you will, was extremely good for Carmel, too, especially Shakir Pascal this half.
Absolutely. And we talked a lot there about this offensive attack from the Greyhounds. The Greyhounds doing a really solid job at that. However, even some of these possessions and ways that we are getting in there to attack for these touchdowns is our defense. And I saw out there something that really amazed me is the interception by Kendall Hune. Kendall Hune, a really big guy out there on the defensive line, makes the diving catch to grab that bobbled pass right before it hits the ground, and he really laid out there for that one. So it just goes to show how completely versatile this whole team really is.
And Kendall Hune, I like how you mentioned that, Riley. He came up big last game against Lawrence Central. Kendall Hune tacking on 6 tackles with 11 assists. He's found himself in the coverage game as well. But there's another guy who plays coverage normally that's done a good job of tackling tonight. That's Jack Conway, Jesse.
And Jack Conway, we've been talking about him all season. We talked about him a little bit there in the pregame show. When it comes down to it, one of the best fundamental tacklers in the secondary I think you're going to see around here. Plays with a lot of heart and a lot of hustle. Absolutely a pleasure to watch there on the field. Doing a very good job coverage so far this season. But as you mentioned, so far on the field tonight, it's been about his tackling.
And I thought, of course, you made a good point right there, Jesse. And overall, when you look at the scoreboard, you see the Hounds are winning 35-0. This is exactly what I thought would happen at the start of the game. They just completely dominated. And if you're Carmel right now and you're Coach Wright, you've got to be looking in a good direction for the second half.
And see, Coach Wright's had a lot of success against Lawrence North. You know, they talked about, at least for the past 2 games and past 2 meetings, they've outscored them 105-0. That's saying a lot. I mean, that's a big margin of victory there, and they're already completing kind of that stereotype that we thought they were going to, 35-0. Again, folks, we've got 13 minutes left in this halftime. I think it's very important also. We got to give a lot of credit to John Lampe. John Lampe has probably been the most scrutinized player so far this season. He is the talk of the school, and I can tell you, and we can almost all just come together in this sense that when we're at school, folks, all we hear about is John Lampe's performance. Is his head in the game? Is he performing as well as he could have? Is he getting enough reps? And I think the fact of the matter, folks, is tonight, John Lampe said, enough. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of everybody talking about me. He came out. He threw incredibly well. He's running play action, and he just looks confident on the field.
And to answer your question, is he performing well? Absolutely. If you're watching his game tonight, and he's doing it in unconventional ways that we're used to seeing him. We're used to seeing him air it out, going deep down the field, but he's running the read option quite well for a quarterback that we really haven't noticed the read option talents from so far tonight. And you got to also give credit to that offensive line, giving him some protection. Very good decision maker you have in John Lampe. Been playing quarterback for a long time now, but you give him time, he's going to pick the defense apart.
And I know one of the things we talked about, in fact, Riley, you mentioned this in the pregame, was the effect that the Victrups have on the field. And we talk about Jacob Victrup, first off, we haven't given him enough spotlight at all. He came in as a kicker. He played soccer. It's only his second year of football. Came in as a kicker. They moved him to linebacker. Then they moved him to, like, defensive end. And so finally he's found himself on the offensive side of the ball.
And when you look at Jake Victrup, as you just mentioned, came over from soccer. He's an extremely physical force. He's absolutely huge at 6 feet, 240 pounds. He really makes an impact on that offensive line. And with a team like Carmel that isn't that big, he really does a good job of blocking for that offense.
And, you know, just to go along with that, the whole Victrup family does really represent that go all for it or don't do it at all mentality. They put all of their hearts out there on the field. They put so much out there totally that, you know, Jacob Victrup came out here on this Carmel Greyhounds football team from soccer, not a very big guy. And, you know, now he's put the effort in and the time in to be that large physical force out there on the field, along with his brothers, taking the time to really make that big impact on the JV squad. You know, he is really a strong force for the seniors on this varsity squad.
You mentioned, you know, the seniors of the varsity squad, but when you look at the rest of the offensive line, you got guys like Nate Thompson, some younger players starting on this offensive line, a lot of the younger players coming up big. You know, we forget Isaac James is only a junior. We forget Chris Perkins, Shakir Pascal are also only juniors on this varsity squad.
And one of the things you mentioned, Nate Thompson, a guy I want to focus on for a second. He's probably the most experienced player on that offensive line. Coming in, he's only a junior, but he's a junior, and he's had to play like a senior. At that center position, we've seen him do this a few times. I think he feels that pressure. He feels like he's the guy who has to kind of keep everything together. And the center position is tough. But here's what I want to focus on. And we've talked about this a lot. I've had the opportunity. I'm good friends with Nate. I've had the opportunity to talk to him about it. And if you just see his heart that goes into his performance, just how much he cares and how much it hurts him. I remember he came off of a loss one time. We were going up out to eat one time. And I just remember him sitting at that table, and he didn't say a word. I mean, you could just tell that he was almost grieving over the loss of a football game. But those are the kind of players that we have on this team. The kind of players who care enough that they can't even eat after they lose. And so it's easy to sit back in the stands, and I know I'm ranting a little bit, but I think this needs to be said. It's easy to sit in the stairs, it's easy to sit in the booth and critique and critique and complain. But when you're a player in this atmosphere, the atmosphere of Carmel High School, it is tough to face that scrutiny. And we've seen it with NCAA teams all around who have, you know, incredible traditions, but it's the same feel here at Carmel High School.
You know, these guys pouring out their hearts and souls into this football game. And, you know, you talk about guys like Nate Thompson. You look at the defensive guys. You have the Mitch Davises. You have the Ryan Sondels. You know, they love their school. They love their football team. They love the game of football. And they are proud to wear that Carmel Greyhounds uniform week in and week out.
I think it's also important to bring up the coaches, too. You know, the coaches have done such a good job so far, and they've got a great coaching staff. And we get the opportunity of sitting up here in the booth, and, you know, it's fun because we get to joke around with them, we get to have fun, and we kind of see just the personalities. I think that's something you don't get to see a lot with players and coaches alike.
And I also think that, just as you mentioned, the coaching staff really does a great job here. When you have guys like Coach Ryder who have just had a constant line of success in their careers, and you build that up with incredible coaches at their specific positions, you really have something special going for you there. And that's exactly what Carmel has now, and I don't think they'd rather have it any other way.
Okay, second half ball. What are you doing if you're the Greyhounds, first off, Riley?
You know, if I'm the Greyhounds and I come out there on the field again, they've already dominated on the offensive front. What I would do is I'd start rotating some younger players in there, give them a little bit more experience against not necessarily the most difficult team they've played yet this season, but a better, maybe a stronger team than they get to play on the average junior varsity game. So that's definitely something that I'd like to see the Greyhounds doing.
You know, we talked about this during the pregame show, those valuable game reps. Nothing is more valuable to a football team than the game reps. Nothing, you cannot simulate it in practice as hard as you try. Practice does make perfect, by the way. But when you come out there, you get those game reps for the younger players so that this time next year when they're coming in, they're the ones leading this team. They're ready to go in this kind of situation.
I think also defensively on the side of the ball, I don't know, we'll get to you in a second, Vince. I know you're a big fan of defense yourself here. And so defensively, the Greyhounds have done an incredible job tonight. How else do they have to capitalize on that?
Well, they do have to capitalize on it a lot, and I like that you mentioned defense is my favorite part of any sport. Defense does win championships, and I do expect to see younger players in that rotation, just as Riley said a few minutes ago. Carmel does not have a large defense in size, but they do a really good job of putting or tackling and making plays on that defense, and with the younger guys in there, they should get more experience. The program should be good to go in a few years and keep that winning streak that they have.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this halftime show here, Greyhound Halftime Report. We'll be bringing you another high school game day coming up here soon. But until then, we're going to send it back to the station here for some quick tunes, maybe a booster break. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Greyhounds.
Everybody have a good time. WHJE.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this WHJE broadcast of Carmel Varsity Football. If you're just tuning in, great time to tune in. The start of the second half is about a minute and a half away, with the Carmel Greyhounds leading 35-0 over McRival Lawrence North.
We've seen quite a bit of action already in this game. The Greyhounds have come out very strongly, 35-0 already just in the first half alone. They're on point to rack up 60 points just like last year. Again, 105-0 in the past two times that Carmel has faced Lawrence North. Lawrence North has not won a game in two seasons now. Just quite an astonishing story there. In fact, it's tough to come in, especially on homecoming night. Carmel tries to schedule a game that maybe they can get a W in. They're 2-2 so far on the season, but they've played an incredibly tough schedule. Give us some more on that mid-conference that Carmel's kind of just been thrust into.
And the mid-conference right now, Carmel is 1-1. They are ranked 5th in the state as we speak. But this top of the leaderboard here for the AP Media Poll is a lot of mid-conference teams kind of dominating that poll right here. Center Grove, a MIC team, is 4-0 with a victory over Pike in a close game, 14-13. Also had a one-possession game against the Carmel Greyhounds a couple weeks ago here. Number three, Warren Central, is 3-1. They beat Ben Davis 24-7 last week. Lawrence Central, who lost to Carmel last week 17-7, is ranked fourth at 3-1. Then you have Carmel at 2-2, who of course beat Lawrence Central last week. They are ranked fifth in the state. Ben Davis at seventh lost to Warren Central. They are 2-2. They will be playing Pike this week, and Pike at number eight lost to Center Grove in a very close matchup. They are 2-2, but you see these records, you know, 2-2, 3-1, with Center Grove the only undefeated one left. But right when you're in the thick of conference play, you have a lot of these teams going up against each other, and you have a lot of close matchups.
Again, the Carmel Greyhounds looking to come out here with some fire. Want to come out and duplicate what they did in the first half. They ran the ball very well, contrary to popular belief. They've been doing a good job. The passing game has really been a bailout on third down. They brought John Lamp in. Again, for those of you who haven't been following the Greyhounds, they've chosen to go with a two-quarterback set, and Isaac James, the junior, he's much more of a rushing-type quarterback. And then the senior, John Lamp, who had a lot of playing time last year with Brandon Luger, he's come in as really the passing quarterback. He's got a cannon of an arm. But I've been impressed tonight. Lampy has come out, and he's been able to do both sides of the ball very, very well, rushing and passing. His confidence is up, and so is Isaac James. Look for the Greyhounds in the second half to come out firing.
And it looks like they will be kicking this one away to Lawrence North to start the second half. That will be Nick Stacy now in to kick this one away, number 99, replacing Adam Kramer. That one will be taken at the 15-yard line. Head full of steam for Toonstall. He's going to be brought down hard there at the 35-yard line. Tackle made by number 48 of the Greyhounds, Ryan Stobick.
Deshaun Tunstall on the return.
So Tunstall with a nice return there, giving his team the best field position they've had all night. We've seen Kramer so far this year, this game rather, with five touchbacks of his own, getting the job done there, but will not come out for the kickoff this time.
Well, Kramer tacked on three field goals last game against, of course, Lawrence Central. He had a 38-yard attempt that was good. So came out big for the Greyhounds, really allowed them then to get that offense moving. They weren't going three and out. They were actually putting some points on the board. He's been a huge asset tonight and last game.
So here comes his offense as Minter is going to be brought down behind the line of scrimmage. That linebacking core getting there in a hurry. Ryan Sondels and Mitch Davis both teaming up. It's Mitch Davis from the secondary that time coming up with the sack of Minter. Setting up about a 2nd and 14, just underway here in the second half. 35-0 is your score. Carmel Greyhounds lead here on homecoming night.
Loss of a yard, 2nd and 11.
So they move the ball up now. Forward progress gives them a 2nd and 11 now from his own 34-yard line. Still in the huddle as Minter waits for the substitution to come in. That's number 17, Matos. 11-11 remaining in the third quarter. They come back out in their traditional split back set with one wide out to his left. Gives it up the middle towards the tailback. That's Martin once again. He's going to be brought down after about a gain of three up the middle.
Not fooling anybody on the triple option there. Greyhound defense is a very solid defense.
Brought down by Wade Murdoch.
So Wade Murdoch coming up with the tackle there. Will be about a 3rd and 7 situation coming up for Lawrence North. 10:40 remaining in the third quarter. A lot of clock ticking away here in the early going of this quarter, in this half. A lot of the starters remaining out there for this Carmel Greyhound defense. As they're going to go with the single back formation, Minter will be under center four wide. They split the difference. Has some time to throw, slips a little bit, gets it over to Martin. The ball drops through his hands, and that will be setting up 4th down and 7 after the incompletion.
Again, a second big drop now for that receiving core of Lawrence North. They've been guilty now for letting, again, two drives end in three and outs, and Carmel will get the ball back already. 10-17 here in this third quarter, 35-0 in favor of the Greyhounds.
And it looks like it will be Colin Pearson and Landon Sinis who is enjoying himself a quality season there on the special teams and on that defensive side of the ball. Trying to hurry and get guys off the field. It looks like we might have a timeout as the Carmel Greyhounds were trying to avoid that 12-man on the field.
timeout Carmel.
They get the time off in time, and we will reset here after this timeout for the punt. 10:17 remaining in the third quarter. Still 35-0 Greyhounds as they're going to jog over towards the sidelines for a quick breather.
And we'd like to remind the Carmel fans that St. Vincent Sports Performance does provide comprehensive sports.
The action. The sound. The pride. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE as John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the sound of the hounds. WHJE, your trusted source of Carmel football.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. After that short break, the Carmel Greyhounds punt return team is out on the field once again with 10:17 remaining in the third. And the punter and kicker of this team, Stoneball, will be back at about his own 25-yard line to receive this one. Fields this one cleanly. This one is up and away. A beauty of a punt considering the conditions. That one bounces out of bounds close to about the 28-yard line waiting on that official spot. But a good punt by him considering the rain's coming down a little bit harder than it was here in the first half.
And Stoneball, a senior, he's done an incredible job tonight. I'd like to point him out. Really bailed out Lawrence North when it comes to punting. So far this season, he's had to do a lot of that. Not a lot of production on the offensive side of the ball for Lawrence North. So the Greyhounds now are going to have a shot to come back here. They've got John Lampe out there in the pilot position. He'll be quarterbacking this team on this drive.
From the I formation, two wide set, they split the difference. Lampe takes the snap and hands it off to Perkins off the left tackle. He storms through across the 35-yard line, still moving those legs, no whistle, and finally we get the whistle there. He'll be brought down at the 38-yard line. A little bit of a scrum afterwards, but it will be a solid gain of about 9 yards for Perkins there on first down. Perkins refusing to go down on that play. Sets up a second and one, so 9:41 remaining in the third. They come out with that same two-wide formation. He's got Roberts out to his left, Baldwin to his right. From his own 38-yard line, Lampe under center, takes the snap, gives it off to Pascal up the middle, who stumbles there, but he's going to have enough for the first down across the 40-yard line.
Shakir Pascal.
So the Greyhounds continuing to move the chains here under the command of John Lampe. We saw Isaac James there at the end of the half really provide a different kind of spark to the offense that we haven't seen before through the air in the passing game off that long pass to Thomas Baldwin. But first and 10 from his own 40, Lampe remains out on the field with 9:14 remaining in the third, still 35-0 Greyhounds. They give it off to Perkins again, left tackle, storming through, spin move, breaks the tackle, will be down at about the 49-yard line, setting up another second and one.
Chris Perkins has been very productive on this drive so far. They've given him the ball, and he's normally kind of one of those running backs that up the middle only gives you about 3 or 4 yards, but he's had some nice gains. We're talking 6 or 7. And they just continue to keep those chains moving, continue to keep this drive alive.
And that will give the Carmel Greyhounds over 200 yards rushing in the game here early on in the third quarter. Second and one from his own 49. The handoff to Pascal up the middle. He's going to have enough for the first down if they give him the forward progress, and they do across the 50-yard line. That moves the chains again. Gaining a couple of yards, but getting the job done for the first down. So 8:34 remaining in the third quarter. New set of downs for the quarterback, John Lampe, as he looks over towards the sidelines. A little less aggression, a little less urgency from the Carmel offense on this drive than we saw there in the first half, but they go again with that I formation with two wideouts, Roberts and Baldwin takes the snap. Fakes the handoff, rolling out to his right, under pressure, throws over the middle, looking for a tight end. Scott, and a nice pass breakup there by Tayshawn Finley. We've been calling his name quite a few times tonight.
And normally, sometimes on struggling teams, there's always that one guy who can really shine. And that has been Tayshawn Finley today. He's done a great job on the defensive side of the ball. He's listed as a defensive back, meaning he plays that cornerback position. And he has done a great job of breaking up some pretty decent passes by John Lampe. Get his hands moving. Was able to break up the pass on that ball with no interference or any penalties like that. Good job to him.
So second down and 10 from the 49. Lampe keeps this one up the middle off the quarterback keeper. Nice option run there. Will gain him about 5 yards. Setting up a third and very manageable with exactly 8 minutes to go in the third. Still 35-0 in favor of the Greyhounds. Starting to move a little more towards into the Lawrence North territory. So third and 6 will be the official spot here. as Roberts and Baldwin will switch sides with that same I formation set from the left hash as Lampy will go under center. Takes the snap, hands that one off to Perkins, left tackle, finds a hole through across the 35-yard line. Will have it up for the first down. And a nice drive coming up here from Chris Perkins running through those tackles. 7:34 is the remaining time here in the third quarter, 35-0. The offense will reset. Clock starts to run after the first down. They're going to bring in the tight end, Joey Scott, off to that right side for John Lampy in the I formation. Pascal and Perkins, the two backs in the backfield. Two wide split the difference from the 35 left hash, takes the snap. That's time to throw, looking deep over the middle to Roberts. And Roberts with the completion into the end zone for the touchdown, 35 yards from Lampy to Roberts.
Great play there by John Lampy to come up big in the passing game. Hit his number one man, Austin Roberts. We've seen so many touchdown-saving tackles. None was happening today. But a touchdown-saving throw there from John Lampy. We've seen him connect with Austin Roberts many a times before, most on third down, but a good job there by John Lampy to take a shot downfield. Paid off big, 41-0, still in favor of the Greyhounds.
And this time, Jesus Estevez will be kicking the extra point for the Carmel Greyhounds, and he knocks it through. The Carmel Greyhounds kickers a perfect 6-for-6 tonight on those extra point attempts between the three of them. That'll give the Carmel Greyhounds 100 yards passing. And what a strike there from John Lampy. But again, we got to give the credit to the offensive line. He had plenty of time to throw, stand up in the pocket, stand tall to deliver a beautiful strike to Roberts.
And if you talk about the depth of that kicking team, it is something else. The Greyhounds have so many very talented kickers on that team, starting off, of course, with number 39. And then even moving on to Jesus Estevez. Estevez transferring from Westfield. Wanted to play football, got another shot here at Carmel. Got a shot there, attacked on the PAT. Talk about other kickers, Ian Finley, very talented sophomore as well. Sam Eastus, another sophomore. She played at Clay Middle School, came over here, has tried her luck and has done a pretty good job. So we're already seeing some of these substitutions being made, some of the younger kids getting some playing time. Probably see a lot more of that as this game continues.
Stacy will be kicking off once again for the Carmel Greyhounds. This one up and away towards the 15-yard line. He receives that one. And Toonstall with a great return up the middle at the 35, breaking a couple tackles at the 40, still moving across the middle of the field at the 50-yard line. Toonstall is going to be tripped up at the 40, but he's still on his feet at the 30, finally brought down at the 27-yard line, and that's exactly the spark you'd like to see from Lawrence North. The great return will set up some great field position. We've been talking about the Carmel Greyhounds and the risk of the big play for the last couple weeks, and that's the big play in this one. But holding on to that 42-0 lead, as their defense has only given up 26 total yards, but you got to give credit there to Toonstall, finding the open holes, following the blockers, and able to create some space for himself.
Touchdown-saving tackle there by none other than Anthony Mazza's brother, Nick Mazza. Nick is a sophomore. He played at Creekside Middle School. So good job for him on that return team to save a touchdown there, potentially.
It looks like Minter will come back out to play quarterback. With the similar formation, two tight end set, they put a man in motion, gives off that handoff to his man. He's going to be brought down behind the line of scrimmage. Initially, they're slowed up by Mitch Davis and Ryan Sondels coming in to finish him off there. That was Abdul Halim on the carry. First time we've called his name tonight.
Mitch Davis doing a great job coming right off of that line, right off of the snap. Able to find his way into the backfield, slowing down the runner there, so it's going to be a second and long here. 6:30 remaining in the third quarter, 42-0 if you're just joining us in favor of the Greyhounds. It's been definitely a lopsided ball game. Carmel's put a whomping on Lawrence North.
They're going to go split backs formation this time. One tight end set, one wide out to his left, rolling out to his right. It looks like Mazza giving chase, gets it off to Martin with the completion, breaks a couple tackles, and finally is going to be brought down there at the 32-yard line. So a good gain right there. Minter, from what we've seen so far tonight, has a fairly strong arm. Has some time left here through this program as he is only a sophomore.
Wade Murdoch coming in on that big hit. We've called his name a few times. He's not a guy who's in a lot of the plays, but when he does, he's kind of that hit stick player.
able to really put a guy on the ground pretty fast.
Well, you saw him earlier off of the blitz from that linebacker position. Also plays up on that line from time to time, able to put his hand up and deflect a pass on what was a third and long situation. Able to stop that threat immediately. But a third down and about 13 as Mittner has some time, gets it over to the screen. Martin once again heads towards that left sideline. Ryan Sondels can't wrap him up. And Sam Story, along with Alex Aiken, Aiken's going to bring the ball carrier down, setting up about a fourth and seven.
So that was the sophomore running back there, Brandon Martin, number 14 on the reception. Another, again, a good read there by Trent Mittner. He's done a good job at the quarterback position. Again, we saw the senior coming in, Marcus Avery, but Mittner has kind of taken over and really starting to air the ball out a little bit. They're not, I mean, I say air the ball out, but again, that's kind of figurative. They've done a good job of completing some passes on the screens and stuff like that. 4:44 remaining here in the third quarter again. 42-0 in favor of the Greyhounds. And Lawrence North, for the first time this game, is starting to kind of creep in on Carmel's red zone there.
And they're going to go for it here on fourth and five, it appears. Getting into that scoring area, they're going to go full house set as Mittner has time to throw. He's going to be brought down there behind the backfield. And Alex Aikens comes up and puts a big hit on him. Let's see if they call that one a fumble. Penalty marker was flying in the area. It looks like the Carmel Greyhound offense already getting ready to go, but Alex Aikens coming off of that corner blitz. No chance there for Mittner off of his blind side. 4:19 remaining, and it looks like the Carmel Greyhounds are going to take over at their own 34-yard line. Isaac James trots out to play quarterback on this possession. Getting a couple more substitutions. Tobias Watkins is going to come in for the first time this season to play tailback. Parker Redelman in to play receiver there. We also have Colin Pearson and Quinn Miller will play the fullback position. I formation for James. Hands off to Watkins off that left tackle. Keeps going, and he's going to be brought down there at about the 37-yard line. So a good modest gain for Watkins on his first carry.
Again, like you said, Tobias Watkins coming in for the first time this game. Had a nice carry, but again, we got to go back to number three, Tayshawn Finley there coming up for the final knock.
Gain of about 4 yards
on Watkins.
Second and six now for Isaac James off that left hash mark. He's going to get the handoff to Watkins again. Left sideline breaks the tackle with that stiff arm. They're going to be forced out of bounds at about the 43-yard line, close to that first down marker, and that will be enough to move the chains. So first down after two carries for Watkins.
And congratulations to the Carmel girls golf team.
It will be 42-0 still remaining to score. 3:47 remaining in the ball game. I formation. Scott is the tight end. They have two wide set. Pearson and Redelman, I formation for James. He's going to give this one up the middle to Quinn Miller. He's going to have himself a gain of about 3 yards on first down.
So take a little pause here. You want to give credit to that girls' golf team again, hearing that they won their sectional today, so they'll be advancing. Very talented girls' team. They haven't won since 1981. Trying to get a victory. They've got the team to do it. Watch out for some players like Sophie Kellner and Mackenzie Curtis, very talented people.
A very senior-loaded team there when you got all that veteran leadership. As James under center eye formation fakes it to Miller off the quarterback keeper up the middle. James still moving across the 45-yard line of Lawrence North. He's going to be brought down. That will be enough for the first down after the gain of eight.
So Isaac James this season has really delivered a lot. Again, over 100 yards this season. He's had 32 carries coming into this game. And really been kind of that bailout plan for the offense when it comes to rushing.
First and 10 from the Lawrence North 44. Same formation for James. A handoff to Watkins off the right tackle at the 40-yard line. Watkins still moving, runs into a blocker. He's going to be brought down there. It looks like Finley comes up with another big tackle after about a gain of seven. So we are going to have a stoppage in play here as the officials call for a timeout. Possible penalty flag. We have a personal foul against Lawrence North, and that is going to move the Carmel Greyhounds up 15 more yards from the spot.
So these free yards are just, you can't give them up if you're Lawrence North. I mean, you're down 42-0 with 2:42 remaining in the third quarter, so it's going to be hard for them to get back in the game at all. But still, those free penalties and the yardage there given over to the Greyhounds just makes it easier for them to keep racking up points on that scoreboard and keeps just destroying the confidence of your defense.
First and 10 from the Lawrence North, 24-yard line off that right hash. James from the I formation gives it off to Miller, left tackle, barrels through for a couple yards there. And Quinn Miller getting a couple carries from that fullback position. 2:24 remaining in the third quarter. Carmel still remains 42-0. Isaac James out there directing this offense, getting some valuable game reps in. As we saw Lampy for that entire drive last on that touchdown scoring pass. 35 yards from Lampy to Roberts. Same formation, two wide set. They give it off to Watkins, left tackle. Has some room at the 15-yard line. Cuts back middle of the field. And Tobias Watkins is going to go in for the touchdown. And an impressive run there makes it 48-0.
So the sixth rushing touchdown here for the Greyhounds, delivered by Tobias Watkins. We got to watch him a lot last year at the JV level. Very fantastic player. Ran under the offense of Michael Vatrip. And so he gets his varsity shot and turns it into a touchdown. Great run by Watkins. Great blocking by that offensive line to open up the holes, and he's able to walk right into the end zone.
Trying to make it 49-0 now. It's Jesus Estevez for his second extra point attempt of the night. His kick is up, and that one is also good. So he is 2-for-2 on the evening with exactly 2 minutes remaining here in the third quarter. The Carmel Greyhounds open up to a 49-0 lead.
The Carmel Greyhounds are back in action, and so is the WHJE sports team. But this year is better than ever. John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the same expertise with a new sense of style. We're taking this football season to the edge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this WHJE production of Carmel Varsity Football. If you're just tuning in, Carmel leads 49-0 with 2 minutes remaining here in the third quarter. That last drive led by the junior quarterback, Isaac James, and a previous scoring drive led by the senior quarterback, John Lampy.
So the only other quarterback here that we can think of is Michael Vertrup. And so the question is he going to see playing time tonight? Are we going to get to see him come out and get some varsity reps? Jesse, you said during halftime that the most important thing for any player is game time repetitions.
And, you know, with a younger quarterback like Isaac James, this is his first year playing varsity. You talked about it during the pregame show. He spent all of his summer learning how to play the wide receiver position, then came right back as Jesus Estevez will kick this one away, and Toonstall will take that one at the 15-yard line, breaking a couple tackles in the open field. Toonstall shaking a couple defenders on his feet at the 40-yard line, refusing to go down. Those are two consecutive great returns there by Toonstall. But going back to what I was saying, Isaac James is still learning this offense himself. Those game reps are just as valuable to him as anybody, to keep in mind, as we saw Tobias Watkins also getting in there, Quinn Miller getting some carries as well. Something to note here, you know, Tobias Watkins there with his first career varsity touchdown, so a big moment there for him. With 1:50 left in the third quarter, Lawrence North will take over with that split backs formation. Minter from his own 41-yard line takes a snap, hands it off up the middle to Martin with a nice carry up the middle for about a gain of 7 yards on first down. So the clock still ticking away. 1:40 remaining in the third. 49-0 Hounds. Trying to get that rushing game going. Tackle was made there by Luke Parker. We've called his name throughout the season many times, especially on that special teams off those off the punting game. Does an excellent job getting downfield on kickoff and punt coverage. When he's asked to come in and play that safety position, does a great job covering deep down the field. As it looks like we are going to see the split backs formation again. One wide out to his right. That is Williams. As he gives it off to Martin again off that left tackle across the 50-yard line, trying to push that pile forward. Let's see what forward progress is going to get him. Looks to be just short of that first down marker to set up third down. Under a minute to go in the third. Still 49-0 Hounds. Clock continues to tick away. Everyone gets up, and Lawrence North goes back to the huddle. Sebastian Torres coming up there with the initial stop. Collective tackle there by the Carmel Greyhounds defense. Third and inches coming up for Lawrence North. About a foot to go as they come out, same formation, split backs. The Greyhound 49-yard line handed up to middle to Martin. He hits a wall but breaks the tackle. He's going to be brought down, and it looks like he will have enough for the first down after the gain of two. So 18.5 seconds remaining in the third quarter. The clock will stop with the moving of the chains here. getting some substitutions in for the Carmel Greyhound defense, and we see the sophomore Noah Burks there off the defensive line. Clock continues to tick away with 10 seconds remaining in the third, and Lawrence North seems content with letting the clock run out through the rest of the third quarter, and they will. So at the end of three, 49-0 is your score. The Carmel Greyhounds with two touchdowns in that quarter.